Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
What a end zone punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. That guy is Jeff Fiegels, taking you for the next 1 hour previewing New York Giants and Tennessee Titans. Both teams trying to break some serious losing streaks. We'll see which team can do it, and we will break down the matchup for you for the next hour, as well as taking your calls at 201-939-4513 and hashtag Giants chat. Jeff, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Some serious streaks, you said, right? Those are both teams with serious streaks. Giants having a more serious streak trying to bust this week, but I'm doing good, John.
And the Giants are coming close. That's the really frustrating thing, and that's why I put it that way, because you would think, you know, all these losses. The Giants have been in all three of their previous games. They've had a chance to win it late, and all of a sudden, they can't make the play when they need to, and that's really been what's so frustrating for this team and the fans watching them trying to get this thing done.
I did a little research on Tuesday with Lance, and I was kind of trying to figure out exactly what we just talked. Why is this happening? And I had mentioned that when it all came down to it in the second half, the games that the Giants had won earlier in the season, they had one turnover in that second half. The games of late, the three games that they should have won here, the last three, seven turnovers in that second half. So, you know, we always talk about that great statistic of turnovers. That is the number. You turn the ball over, especially on the road, you lose football games. That's what the Giants have done the last 3 weeks. But, you know, we can get into it and talk about this, and that, but turnovers are a big reason. And the other one is this team just does not or cannot find a way or figure out how to win these close games, and it's hard to put a finger on that. Where do you start with it? Is it the personnel? Is it the coaching? You know, it's just, there's so much stuff. Is it statistics? It's hard. But listen, maybe they get a chance this week and play four quarters instead of two quarters and three quarters. Put the game, that's why it's 60 minutes, and finish the game and go down there in Tennessee and get yourself a win, get on that plane and come back, feel good about yourself going in with three games left in the season.
All right, well, let's get right to it. You talked about making those plays at the end of the games to win. Well, Justin Pugh talked to the media earlier this week and talked about the Giants just having that intangible that'll finally get them in the W column.
You got to learn how to win. A lot of the guys on this team have won a lot of games and won the big games, and we know towards the end of the game, if we got the ball in our hand, we got to go down and score. If the defense has to make a stop, they got to make a stop. And I think once we see that happen one time, it's going to start rolling for you. And I think that's something that in the past 3 weeks, we've lost a lot of close ones. And it's not because guys aren't trying. Guys are out there working hard. I just think it's a mentality of getting one, seeing one go, and then, you know, we'll rest, we'll be able to close them out.
You know, Jeff, I don't want to bring up bad memories for you, but before you got to the Giants, you dealt with a lot of losing.
Yeah,
you play for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that was
Does
a while
it
ago.
Get into the DNA sometimes?
Yes.
Where if in consecutive weeks something just goes wrong, where you can't come out with the wins, and I'm not saying it's even a conscious thing where you expect to lose, but is there almost like an unconscious thing that gets into teams' heads when they don't have success and it's hard to get out of it?
I think it's on the other side of it. I think good teams,
right?
Good things happen. Good
and then
things
they keep
go.
Happening.
Same thing with losing.
Right.
Bad things happen. Guys don't know how to get out of their own way. They just, you know, things just because of the mindset. And, you know, it's definitely a culture that you try to build within winning. But, you know, I have on some of our notes, and John does a good job about putting these together, you know, is there really a skill of learning how to win?
Is there?
There has to be.
That was my next question.
There has to be a skill. And what that skill comes down to is that, you know, how
good
do you
punting?
How do you good
no.
punting, good field position, you know? But even breaking it down into good punting and good field goal kicking, whatever it is, but it's just the little things of you know, if I did something this week, I correct it and don't do it ever again, and that could lead to winning. And if you put collectively all 53 guys thinking on that same wavelength, then you start to roll some wins, and that's how you learn how to win. You learn from your mistakes, and you don't let them happen again.
Right.
Jumping off sides, you know, just in critical plays of the game, letting guys, jump inside on a naked boot and a guy runs for 25 yards.
So is each guy doing their individual job more perfectly?
More perfectly. If there is a thing, that is it.
I'm not sure if that's grammatically
correct. That's okay.
We'll just roll with it.
That's okay. But more perfectly, yes. If you did something last week or even the week before, don't do it again. Do it more perfectly next week.
we're going to stick with that, apparently.
It works. Fine.
Now, and it's funny, Jeff, how it's gone these second halves is strange, at least the last couple of weeks. The offense seems to slow down a little bit, and I think a lot of that is, you know, issues with protection from time to time. And you can tell me if you think you're wrong. But defensively, though, the Giants have done a pretty good job against San Francisco. They held them to, you know, 13 points. They did a great job last week. Jacksonville got 14 of their points off of turnovers.
Look at Dallas. They hold DeMarco Murray 121 yards.
Exactly.
Rushing.
So the defense has done good jobs in spurts. Yet, at the end of the game, and Antro Roll talked about it this week a little bit in the locker room, you know, they just can't seem to make that one big stop when they need it.
And that really, in my mind, comes from, you know, Tom had always said it in his locker room, in the meetings, big players make big plays in big games.
Right.
That's what's missing. Okay? Big players, JPP, makes big plays in big games in big situations. Just to add one more step to that.
Someone's got to step up and do something.
In the big situation like that, onto a roll, make an interception. JPP, even if you just don't jump inside, you don't give up a big run.
Be disciplined.
Those are the kinds of things that we talk about.
All right, we talked about turnovers already. The Giants are now -7, I think the number is. I think it's tied for third worst in the league, if I'm not mistaken, off that Jacksonville game. Because Jacksonville was -10. They were +3 in that game, and that evened out them and the Giants at -7. Not where you want to be. But another thing that's hurting the team, Jeff, are the injuries. And the Giants added another slew of guys to injured reserve this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, you lose two of your defensive linemen in Robert Ayers and Matthias Kiwanuka. Adam Snyder, another offensive lineman, goes on the shelf. Jeff Schwartz, another offensive lineman, goes on the shelf. It just seems like an endless list of guys is now permeating this entire team. How do you build, you know, camaraderie is probably the wrong word, but the teamwork, the cliche word chemistry, with so many new faces coming in week in, week out into these lineups?
You don't. You hit the nail on the head. It's how do you develop chemistry when you got guys that are – it's like a turnstile, guy going in, guy going out, guys coming from different practice squads, guys coming up from the practice squad and then is in there starting. I was trying to go back in my mind, which is a little convoluted because it was so many, many years ago that I played football. But I think when I first got here at the Giants in 2003, I think there was a time in that season where we were bad. And it was like – and really, I think we played the Cowboys, and there might have been 11 new guys on this football team within the last, like, a week and a half. And
which
I
year was that?
03, I believe.
Oh,
and they ended up beating the Cowboys with a team that was just like, where are these guys from? So, you know, to
wait,
answer,
wait, that was Eli Manning's rookie year talking
that was
about?
Eli,
that was 04.
04 then. Okay, so I knew it was close around this.
Right, Joe, that was 04, right? Eli's rookie year, right, yeah.
But I think that, you know, so and to answer your question there, is it can it happen? I guess so. They played, but it's very difficult to get in there because you know what, John, you and I have worked together for a while.
Yeah,
you know,
unfortunately.
But when we first started, you know, or even working with Paul or for that much, or even all the guys you do work with, you see a chemistry once you start working with people.
You've actually found the chemistry with the team?
Somewhat,
how'd
a little
you do
bit.
That?
Well, that is very small. I didn't even know if you want to call it a chemistry. Maybe, you know what? I call it chemistry like a class because we're always trying to figure things out. But I think that, as you know what I'm saying, is that you get you kind of get used to some guys. You know how guys cover. You know how guys do this. You know, when you have new guys in there, it's tough, real tough. And I, you know, listen, this is a tough go here. But the guys that are in there are expected to go in there and play well.
Well, you know, Jeff, I guess the one silver lining, at least on the offensive line with all these injuries, you're going to go back to the unit, at least it looks that way. That Tom Coughlin and the Giants haven't announced anything, but they at least have the opportunity to go back to the lineup that they had in there for most of the year with Pugh, Jerry, Walton, Richburg, and Beatty.
Right.
Go working from right to left.
Yeah, and you know, okay, that's good. And you got Rashad Jennings. All right, so let's talk about this.
You make
a good point. Seriously.
And by the way, we don't know if Rashad Jennings is going to play this week either with that ankle injury.
Probably not, you know, but who knows. But if he is, let's talk about him. Then you get, other than Victor Cruz, going out, but you got Odell Beckham that's in there that wasn't in there with that that first couple weeks. So we got a chance there. To me, I don't have a problem with the offense, what they're doing right now. I really don't. I think that they can do some stuff. But to me, it's the second half defensively. Start making some plays and getting the ball, getting the turnovers, and not giving the ball up is the big thing. So, but you know what? Those guys have played together, and we talk about chemistry. Those guys have played together, and now they're going to get back. They're getting the band back together, as we would say. And good things can happen from that. But just don't shoot yourselves in the foot and make mistakes and go down there, because it is hard to win on the road. And every NFL team is capable of beating anybody on any given Sunday. We know that. And this Giants team has got to go down there and play good.
Well, we talked about the offense.
Captain Obvious, right?
Thanks. That's why we give you the big thanks for that.
Yeah, that's a good one,
analysis.
Jeff. Yeah. Commercial, please.
We talked about the offensive line. How about the defensive line with no Mathias Kiwanuka, with no Robert Ayers? That means we finally get to see the monster.
Well,
DeMontre Moore will have an opportunity. He spoke to the media about the opportunity he has the chance to seize.
It's an opportunity. Anytime an opportunity presents itself in the past, I've took advantage of it. And, you know, I've been waiting for it a long time, and I'm just ready to step up. You know, I've been preparing a lot, and then I had a lot of great veteran leadership that was in front of me. And, you know, within these past 2 years, I got to learn from Justin Tuck, Mathis Kiwanuka, JPP. And so, you know, I feel like it's my time, and I'm ready to take advantage of it.
Now, it wasn't a great soundbite, so I didn't put it onto the machine. But Perry Fuel talked later on yesterday. He was asked, well, what is JPP missing in terms of being a complete every down player? And he pointed out three things that I thought were pretty poignant. He said strength, power, and a little bit of discipline. Things that are important for defensive linemen.
And he could
linemen.
Be size.
Oh, and we should note,
he's
DeMontre
a
Moore
guy.
Is 25 pounds lighter than both JPP and Ayers, and I think it's 20 pounds lighter than Kiwanuka. So, you know, there is a size issue there.
Yeah.
And we knew that coming out of college, that he was a little bit undersized at defensive end. And this is something that he can get better at. He can hit the weight room. He can get bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And he has gotten bigger since he's been here. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten more powerful. He has worked at it. But as I circle back to the original point, what can we expect from DeMontre Moore when he hits the field for probably 50 to 60 snaps this week?
Well, I think you can expect some mistakes because that's what he's been doing. I mean, you know, that's just part of his maturation process as a young player. But that's why you haven't seen him on the field as much as you have, because he still makes those rookie mistakes, and he's not a rookie. The fact is that he makes mistakes during practice that doesn't get him on the field. Well, now he's kind of, you know, he has to play now.
Yep.
I don't care how he's practicing. He has to play now. So hopefully he could carry over some of the things that he's been learned. He got some playing time last week, a little bit more and this and that. But to answer your question, John, is how are we going to see him get better? I think it is he needs to get bigger, he needs to get stronger, and get in that weight room in the off season, because they don't know what's going to happen with Kiwanuka. We probably think that he may with his knee.
He might have played
back.
His last snap as a Giant.
Absolutely,
too.
You don't know what's going to happen with JPP.
Yep.
Okay, I know we have Robert Ayers coming back next year, but he's not a traditionally he plays all over the place. So, mm-hmm. But DeMontre Moore is your guy, and we don't know what with JPP if he's going to come back. So. Get this kid out there and let him play, and let's see what he can do these next 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, Jeff, one Giant defensive player that got up to a much faster start in his career than DeMontre Moore is rookie Devon Kennard. He was a
third-round
draft pick
this
year. He's gotten off to a very good start, battled through a hamstring injury. He's been on the field, and he talked about his quote-unquote breakout performance last week.
Kind of established what I already knew. You know, I belong in this league, and I can play in this league, and I, you know, hopefully can continue to make plays like that, and you know, that's what I'm going to work towards and try to keep doing. I still have a long ways to go, and there's still so many areas I can get better at, so you know, I'm just eager to learn and to get better every day, and you know, I'm soaking up everything I can from Coach Herm and just trying to get better and help my team get a win.
And by the way, I cannot say enough good things about the type of kid Devon Kennard is. He's a classy guy, he works hard, and by the way, he doesn't look like a rookie. He's in that Andre Williams class where if you looked at these two guys, Jeff,
yeah,
you know, they look like they're 4 or 5 year NFL pros with the way their bodies look. They look like they're ready to go here, and he's done a very good job early. But one thing Howard Cross and Carl Banks always say to me, John, anybody can have one good game.
Yeah,
it's stringing them together that makes you a professional.
And give him credit for that one good game.
Yes, of
that's
course.
Good. And but also give him credit for his confidence. I mean, he was hurt earlier in the season, you know, and then able to make it back and now starting. But, You know, Kennard comes from a football background. I actually played with his dad back when I was at the Cardinals. But he's been brought up around football. He played a lot of multiple positions at USC. He has good intelligence for as a football player. Yep. So he's going to be a good guy to have around on this defense for years to come. And I think he's embracing the opportunity he's getting now to be in that starting lineup and go out there and show. But I really like the way he answered the question. He said, I'm confident I belong here. But at the end of the conversation, he had said, I still have things left to learn. We all have things left to learn. In my 20th year in the NFL, I was still learning the game of football and things, how to do things. So you always have things to learn.
You know, Jeff, the one unexpected guy coming out of the offseason roster and the preseason and training camp that was a surprise to get on this final 53 was Kerry Wynn. He finally got on the field last week.
Yeah.
And he showed some ability to rush the pass.
And you know what? He was kind of a head scratcher.
Yeah.
We were kind of like, you know, where does this guy come from? But obviously they must have seen something,
yeah.
and it's about time. And all you can ask out of young guys, really, folks, is that if you do get your opportunity, you go in there and you play. Make something out of it. And I think he did that. And I think that we saw him in maybe one game before this, maybe one tour games during the season. He's been active because of the injuries. But it's all you can ask. As a young guy, to go in there and play, do what you got to do. And obviously that he's here for a reason. He's been on the 53-man roster all season. So the Giants have felt that he could play. And now he's going to get that opportunity.
I got some stuff in the Titans. We'll get to that in just a bit. But I'm going to get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can contribute there as well. We'll get to your tweets over the course of the program. But let's get to the phones. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Words like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 football contest this weekend. That's fantasy football, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And first up on the phones is Eddie down in Maryland. Edward, good morning, good afternoon. How are you, pal?
Good afternoon, John. Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
Just wanted to talk about the Giants coaching staff. I was just thinking about it. Like, last year, all the fans was mad at Kevin Gilbride and said he had to go. He eventually retired or was forced to retire. And they were saying, okay, the defense was good. The offense wasn't, okay? So we bring in McAdoo. He was supposed to be able to be good coming off an A-Frank defense last year. Now, this year, the offense is good. Defense isn't good. And everybody wants to get rid of Fuel. So my question is, are we really being too knee-jerky here, you know, firing coordinators every year? And the one mainstay is Tom Coughlin. I think if the Giants wanted to make a change, they should do a change within the whole coaching staff. If not, I think it's wrong to just fire Fuel and then keep McAdoo and Coughlin, because at the end of the day, it is Tom Coughlin's job as the head coach to run the whole team. So I just want to know what you guys think about that.
All right, Eddie, thanks for the call,
thanks,
pal. And I will say this. Tom Coughlin is the first one to say, after all these losses, this is on me, it's my responsibility. So he's not trying to shirk anything. That's number one. And Tom does take responsibility for everything
sure.
that happens with these players and with these teams. And look, Jeff and I, our check is signed by John Mara. We can't sit here and talk about guys' jobs, who's going to lose their jobs. Something we just can't do, folks. I understand your frustration, but it's something that we can't discuss here. But I will say this. Jeff, when a season is the way it is now, it's impossible to point the finger at one person.
No, collectively. And we've said it on the show before many times. You know, the organization will do what they have to do, whether it's, you know, like you said, clean house, everything, make adjustments here. All we can do is talk about it when it happens, but it hasn't happened now, so there's really nothing left for us to talk about. But, you know, when you look at other teams and other organizations, the Giants have always done the right thing. They've always been – you look at the coaches they've had, the one you got now has been pretty darn good when you ask me. Two Super Bowls and, you know, that's pretty good. So,
and I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
In my opinion, he is, and I hope that he is one day. And if he is, it's another one of the coaches from the Giants organization that has gone into the Hall of Fame. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, in the meantime, they got four games left to play. And you know, we can talk about this. Everybody is playing and coaching for their jobs. I mean, because that's when you've only won three games, then that's the fact of the matter is that is exactly what's happening right here. We are in full tilt evaluation mode right now.
And the bottom line here, Jeff, too, is that, you know, there's a group of fans out there that say, well, just lose as many games as you can, get a better draft pick. That's not how real life works. Not how real life works.
That might be not real life, because it's still all about, we got three games.
Personal pride.
We win four games. We're 7-9 in a horrible, horrible year. They probably take that, you know. But that's how you think. We got four wins to go get. So that's what, if I'm a player, that's what I'm thinking, and I'm going to go play my butt off so I can be back here next year, whether I have a contract or not.
Let's go to Keith in Kentucky next. Keith, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, that last call kind of messed my train of thought up, but.
That's all right. You know, you'll get it back.
You know, I'm thinking about that whole situation, what he just said. I mean, I don't know about Perry Fuel, but where we're stuck at right now between coaching and offensive coordinators, me personally, I think everybody stands. Fuel might be the only one question, you know. Do you really want to teach Eli a whole new system? I don't think so. I think the system looks very explosive.
Yeah, honestly, Keith, to me, I from what I've seen of this offensive system, and I'd love to get Jeff's opinion on it too, I see the workings of a system that works. And I think if you look at what Aaron Rodgers has done in this system over the past 4 or 5 years, and this is not taking anything away from Aaron Rodgers as a player, to me, this system is designed very well where you limit throws in the tight spaces and dangerous throws, where you cut down on turnovers naturally. And I think even though Eli, you know, he has his 12 picks, you know, it's fewer than he had last year, obviously. And I think, Jeff, you do see the beginnings of what looks like could be a very effective offense if it's allowed to develop and you bring in a little bit more talent.
And you get a little bit of better play out of the offensive line. We've seen the production out of the tight end position this year. I mean, other than the fumbles, but as far as getting better at blocking and catching balls and things like that, the tight end is part of this offense. You need to have it. Look at Green Bay. They've always had great tight ends. They have a good running back. So I think what you said is spot on. Get a little bit more better personnel, or even the guys that are there, play better.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to necessarily replace people. The younger guys naturally improve over the course of time and
better.
Get better. Keith,
play
what
better.
Else you got for me?
I need y'all to play GM real quick.
Oh, boy.
Okay, on the defense.
Jeff, you could do that.
If you two people off the defense, you know, starting with Antrell Roe, JPP, Prince Mukamara, John Beeson, what two would you keep if you can only keep two?
Oh, boy. Wait, you said it was Beeson, Kiwanuka, JPP, and Prince. Those are your four?
No. Did I say Kiwanuka?
No, Kiwanuka was not in there.
Prince,
Beeson, JPP, and Roll.
JPP, Roll is and Beeson.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, Keith, thanks for the call, man.
Well, I think it's, you know, if I had a gun to my head,
Prince is on the contract.
Yeah, Prince.
He has that one year left.
Prince probably would be my number one to keep because I think he's a young guy still. Even though, you know, he's going to be in his fourth year coming up maybe.
I think.
Or his fifth.
Fifth year. Fifth.
And, you know, Beeson, I don't know about John. I just think he might be to that point where in his career the injuries are going to catch up with him.
I mean, it's been that way that he was healthy for most of last year. But prior to that, he played, what, 6 games in 3 years, I think, like that. So you're going to have to make a decision. Yeah. The problem is that when he plays, he's so damn good. You hate to give up with a guy like that.
And what makes him so good is the fact that he's like a Perry Fuel or an offensive coordinator on the field. You know, he's a lot like Chase Blackburn, where he gets guys lined up, and that intangible is huge.
And he also goes a million miles an hour on every play. He goes a million miles an hour in practice, and that's what makes him good. But at the same time,
that's what gets him hurt.
Gets him hurt. Thank you.
Yep. So, you know, and with JPP, you know, we're going to find out what happens with him. But
this is probably an important month for him too, JPP.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this would be the month that you go out and put it all on the line and go out and get those. You know, if I'm JPP, I want to show the team that I'm going to lead the team in sacks this year. I've played the run better, but let's see it consistently the next 4 years.
And I think Roll is also interesting. I mean, he's a guy that's been such a good player here. He's a vocal leader, you know, but at some point, you know, you look at age, you look at the money that he wants, look at the money you want to offer, and then that's another very tough decision. You hate to let a guy like that go who has been such a team player here. They put him out of position for 3 of his 5 years here, and he's done it happily without a complaint, and he's done a pretty darn good job of it too. I mean, it's hard to let a guy like that walk away from your team.
And the Giants have always done their homework on free agents and their own free agents, and they're going to give him an offer that they feel is worth what the market's going to pay for him, or maybe a little bit less or more. I don't know, but they've always done that with their players, and guys have always said, you know what, that's not enough. I'm going to go test the market, and they've
like Akeem Nicks.
They've gotten more or they've gotten less. Most of the time, they don't get much more.
And then other guys decide, I want the security. I want to stay like Victor Gertz.
And, you know, I will tell you that in the long run, I always took a little bit less money to stay and make it, you know, the organization you played for.
Right.
Because when you do leave, the grass, number one, isn't always greener on the other side. There's new routines you have to get into. You know, and when it comes down to, you know, X amount of dollars, now if it's millions and millions and millions, I can understand that. But when you're comparing apples to apples and it isn't much, you're better off just staying. Better off staying.
201-939-4513. David in North Carolina. David, you're up next, pal.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, David?
Just, I hadn't had a chance to listen much this week, and I hate to rewind a little bit with the Titans upcoming, but some of the stuff you guys are talking about and the way, you know, I felt after the Titans game, or I'm sorry, the Jaguar game, I wanted to touch on. I just think that, you know, the franchise in terms of the personnel we got right now is at a crossroads, and somebody's going to have to put on their big boy pants and make some tough decisions about where we're at. And I like you guys, I know you can't comment, and I hate commenting on you know, people's jobs, people's livelihoods, you know, their professions, because I appreciate everything Tom Coughlin's done. And, you know, we've been spoiled, especially during that 4 or 5 year stretch where we're in the playoffs every year.
No question.
You know, I appreciate that coming from, you know, the tail end of after Dan Reeves and during Fossil, where it was a lot of inconsistencies.
The Dave Brown, Danny Cannell era.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so, what I'm going to criticize, guys, it's not because I think it's their fault or because, you know, I'm mad at them or don't appreciate what they've done.
I hear you, David. Go ahead. It's fine.
Somebody, you know, my issues are when you look at this team and you guys brought up people like Antrell Roll, and I'm going to even throw Eli Manning in the mix, it's not that they don't have their productive players or they have good years left, but I thought going into this year or this offseason, we're looking at a 2-year, you know, rebuild realistically to you know, be competitive on a consistent basis again. This team has been devastated by injuries to so much and really exposed even more of the lack of depth. I don't even know now, I mean, is it a 3-year rebuild? I mean, to fix this offensive line.
You know, David, honestly, it's hard to say how long, you know, fixing something like this can take, but this is what I will say. I think the process gets exponentially faster because you have Eli Manning here. It's one thing to have to bring in a young draft pick quarterback and develop him along with everybody else. When you have Eli here and you know you have a quarterback that can make the plays, is a leader, knows what he's doing, is a franchise quarterback, Jeff, to me, that makes this process a lot faster. I'm not saying it's that,
but it has to make it to make it faster,
yeah.
Because, you know, Eli, you know, he might have 3 or 4 years left, and, you know, they don't have 3 years to sit here and rebuild, if that's what you want to call it. But I don't know, I don't think they're you know, as far as rebuilding, how do we define rebuild? Is it, you know, and bring everybody in? I just think they got to tweak some things here and there, and I don't necessarily think it's a whole rebuilding process that they're going to have to go through.
Here's my argument for. To me, it's almost like a double-edged sword. Number one, is it worth, you know, keeping Eli around if it is a 3-year rebuild? Because, number one, of the cost, and number two, guys, I'm seeing a decline play. I know, you know, when it comes to baseball and football now, people, you know, want to argue about a lot of the advanced metrics and stuff out there, but, you know, some of the signings, you know, a lot of people said J.D. Walton's not that good of a player. And you know what? He hasn't looked that good. Now, granted, he doesn't have a lot helping him out, but you know that to me, that was money wasted. And you look at Eli Manning, and I see a declining player. It's a turnover. Yeah. Do you guys remember Kurt Warner? When it wasn't that Kurt Warner couldn't stop throwing the football, he turned into a turnover machine because all of the hits adding up. I mean, if you touched Kurt Warner, the ball was on the ground.
Yeah, but Andrew, you know what? Everyone said Kurt Warner was done, and then guess what? He got to Arizona, he got good pieces around him, and he went to the Super Bowl.
But every time you're touched, you can't put the ball on the carpet.
Not that year.
You can't put the ball.
Yeah, but I don't think you. I mean, he can improve on that. But you got to come on. You got to block for him. I mean, you're gonna get your turnovers, you know, that way. But you got to block for this guy.
Yeah, like Tom Brady doesn't get protection. He can't succeed.
And you know what? One of the turnovers, the one that cost them, a touchdown, was on a max protection block. They had 12 guys in their block, and they still couldn't block the guys, and they made a sack.
And, David, I will say this. You know, I think he makes a good point. Obviously, you've thought about this. You're a good fan. But I don't – to say Eli's regressing, I think, is strong, because to me, he's played a lot better this year than he did last year. So I'm not sure he's regressed from last year to this year. I think he's played better.
But he does have to hang on.
And that's what I was thinking until, we hit the San Fran game, and to me it's been about a 2 or 3 game stretch where it's like, okay, are the hits adding up again? Because sometimes once that gets in a guy's memory bank, it almost like, I know Arizona was a better team, but I also think it took some years of just, Kurt Warner stepping back, and he started wearing a glove on that throwing hand because he was having a thumb issue, and you kind of step back and reflect on your game, what you need to improve on. I don't know that Eli has that luxury. And then, to me, we're ruining Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning's legacy. I tweeted Paul DeTino the other day. I like to say, I love Eli. Put his number right now, retire it. Tom Coughlin, Hall of Fame coach. To me, Eli Manning, I thought it was a Hall of Famer because I thought we would have another two or three runs left in this guy.
Well, there's still time for that.
Well, I just don't know anymore, and I'm not putting it all on his fault. But then to go back to the advanced metrics before I get off, and I'll take it off there. I appreciate you guys taking my call. When you start looking, there's other quarterbacks in this league, and Tom Brady's one of them that's getting pressured, by the advanced metrics. Now, granted, I know it's hard to believe when you watch the Giants play on Sunday, but when you look at some of the statistics that other people are throwing out there, this isn't the worst offensive line in football. As hard as it is to believe, I know it. I can't believe it either because I hate watching the offense.
Well, they're 22nd in rushing. So that's not the worst, but it's not,
But when you look at the pass, now running the ball, I totally agree. They've got to be near the bottom, and I'm sure they are. But when it comes to just pass protection, there's other teams that are worse, and I like to say, I'll take off there. I'm just worried the hits are adding up on our franchise quarterback, and it's a shame, and I love the show.
Thank you, guys. Right.
Appreciate the call, Andrew. It's funny, I get, you almost hear the conflict in Andrew's voice where he loves these guys so much and he just hates to say something negative about them. But, you go through a couple losing seasons, the frustration builds as a fan. And I think that's what everyone's dealing with.
And really, you think Eli has taken some hits. I mean, he's fumbled the ball and it's cost him the game last week. But I still think that Eli has some good years ahead of him.
I think he has plenty of good years.
And I think with this offense, regardless of, everybody's speculating what's going to happen next year. I'm just telling you right now, if nothing changes, when Eli and McAdoo and with Victor Cruz coming back and Odell Beckham and, the offensive line gets healthier. You did lose Schwartz, who was brought in there, one of their biggest free agents to come in. And, he hasn't been around all season up until one game, and then he gets hurt. And, Richburg getting in there as a rookie that I don't know if they were planning on him playing as much as he did this year, but some things like that, all they point to the positive. And offensively, I think that they can get it done. And I think that Eli has a lot of years left. And I think defensively is where you look at the injuries and how hard it's been for this team to recover from some of the key injuries that they've had, particularly John Beeson at middle linebacker. And Parafuel, John, will tell you, how much it has really hurt them with him not being in the lineup.
And, I'm trying to find some of those advanced metrics that he's talking about in terms of number of times these quarters have been hit. Do me a favor, Andrew. Send me a tweet when you get a chance. And I'm looking at some of the Pro Football Focus numbers here, and I can't find what you're talking about. So just send me a link via Twitter. I'll take a peek. Maybe I'll bring it up later in the show to see what you're talking about.
AdvancedMetrics.com, maybe.
I don't think that's it.
Oh,
Jeff.
Darn. It would be a, that'd be a good, be a really nice website if anybody wants to start.
I'm afraid if I go to a random website, all of our IT guys coming down here taking my laptop away from me. Who knows what advanced metrics? Yeah, exactly. The laptop just explodes as I go to advancedmetrics.com. Let's go back to the calls and say what's up to Andrew down in Richmond, Virginia. Andrew, or is this Richmond, New Jersey, Andrew?
It's down in Virginia.
What do you got going on, pal?
Look, the thought of Eli Manning being on another team makes me sick. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of his older film. You know, I watched some Shockey highlights. I watched some Jake Ballard highlights. And Eli, he's slinging the ball as good as he ever has. And I love the offensive system. I love where we're going. We can't run the ball. You know, we can't, as much as it is about getting the ball out, our offensive line, you just said it a minute ago, the max protect thing, I was going to bring that up. I watched that Giants Online segment with Bob Pop, and they were flabbergasted. Max protect, they can't even block on a max protect.
And they only rushed,
so,
I think, five guys on
better,
that.
Play better. How about play different personnel? Sure. I mean, you know, I do agree. Maybe it is a three-year rebuilding process because I don't know that the talent exists. You can't get blood from a stone. So,
yeah.
But the thought of him going to the Texans, you know, that article just made me nauseous. I don't want to see Eli on another team, okay? But what I do want to see is our offensive and defensive lines getting back to where they were years ago. And even the last time we won the Super Bowl, that was not a good offensive line. Somehow or another, Eli Manning put together a career year for himself, almost 5,000 yards. He was getting the ball out.
And he was great in the fourth quarter, Andrew. He was great in the fourth quarter.
He didn't fumble, and he got hit a ton that year. He just wasn't letting the ball get out.
So you know, Andrew, to me,
I know he was playing around with a grip.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's it, but he's got to pull that down.
Andrew,
off that 25 interception year, I know that was a mantra for him.
Andrew,
to me,
that 2011 season, I think that was almost early signs of offensive line trouble, because the running game obviously was brutal that year. I think they were 32nd in the league in terms of rushing the football during the season. But I think Eli got enough protection. I think they were good enough in protection. Yes, he got hit a lot, but I think they gave him enough time to succeed. But you're right, the run blocking back in 2011 certainly wasn't very good.
And look at all the games that they came back in that year. My goodness.
Well, dude, if you look at Eli Manning's fourth quarter stats in 2011, he literally had like a 128 rating. He completed 75% of his passes. He had something
It seemed like every week
he had something like
back.
Literally 19 fourth quarter touchdowns, only like 3 interceptions. Yeah. He had one of the best fourth quarter years in the history of the league.
Also, his quarterback rating under pressure was like number one in the league.
Yeah,
it just goes to show you.
And he was completing, you know.
You're right.
He was the number one completion percentage over 20 yards.
Yeah, he was.
They were hitting these big plays. Yep. He was getting the ball out. He was hitting Bradshaw. He was hitting his fullback and tight end. I mean, they weren't. You know, I would think we have better pieces on the team now in terms of weapons, but our tight ends can't block as well.
Yeah, that's
our
a big part of it.
Our offensive line is in shambles. You know, there are some significant pieces here that we still need. And, you know, if this is a rebuilding year, great. That's clear to everybody now. You can say no one expected it, but I think everybody in their heart of hearts knew, you know, the offensive line was built off a scrap heap, and we knew John Cherry wasn't a good run blocker to begin with. Charles Brown, come on. We knew these guys weren't that good. So everybody has access to Pro Football Focus now. We can all see what these guys grade out at. So, you know, we need to do a better job getting some decent personnel in here. I don't know that you can just say play better. Thing with the defense, though, and I'll get off in a second, I don't know where our defensive line is going. I mean, JPP and Brian Arakpo remind me a lot of each other. We've seen the highs. We've seen the lows. No consistency, injuries. They might just be better off switching places in D.C. and New York and see what we have.
Hey, you never know. It might happen.
You can't count on these guys.
Well, in fairness, JPP's been healthier a lot more than Arakpo has. JPP hasn't missed a ton of games. He has those, like, nicks in, you know, over the course of the year, but he hasn't missed the number of games Arakpo has, not even close.
Well, so what's the problem? You went from all-pro to a good run stopper. You know, it's not – and you can't tell me it's technique.
Andrew, I wish I had the answer.
When he didn't know anything, he was doing better.
I hear you. Andrew, thanks for the call, bud.
All right, guys.
Hey, believe me. Andrew, if if Jeff and I had the answers to how to get JPP to having 15 sacks a game again, we would not be sitting here right now.
I'm just trying to think. You know, I mean, is it he was lighter? Was it, you know, guys didn't know?
I mean, it could be a thing though, or maybe the league adjusted to him and he's had trouble adjusting back to that.
Well, and you get good coaching at this level now.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, you got these guys that's all they do is study.
I mean, Robert Nunn was his coach when he got to that big 16-sack year.
I mean, you look, and these guys break down everything. They break down guys' techniques. They look at it. They die. I mean, it is – they just – and they maybe they come up with stuff. Hey, he's not good at this. This is how you get a block.
I mean, I was talking to Robert Ayers, and he sung the praises of this defensive line coaching staff and the defensive coaching staff in general, Robert Nunn specifically, and how they made him such a better player when he got here. So the coaching's there.
Sure, that's and you can't always blame the coaches that's the problem with the player. I can tell you that because on that note, coaches do make guys better.
After every bad punt, you would say, you know, John, that was all Tom Quick's fault.
It's all damn coaches, damn coaches. Yeah. Coaches coach, players play, right?
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island next. Jeff, long time no speak. How are you, pal?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well,
this
Jeff.
Afternoon?
Good, good.
Hey, you can't see me, but we all three have the same kind of head.
Very good.
So no hairdo at all.
Skin is in.
That's it, man.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, in regards to the injuries, you know, I mean, any team, I don't care who they are, you can only absorb so many injuries. And then you're not capable of rebounding. I mean, you can't be spending all kinds
Very
of
true.
Money on your backups. You go into the season, you just have to hope that your key players stay healthy. And, you know, unfortunately for the Giants, this has been a really – I'm just putting it on bad luck, okay? I called yesterday. I talked to Paul and Roman. And, you know, it was their contention, I think, that that the players today, as opposed to years ago, players today have, you know, they have like two months a year off. When they report to camp, their bodies are in pretty good shape. They may not be in football shape, but their bodies are pretty well tuned and they're ready to go. So their contention is that, you know, because of the lack of the two-a-days, the guys aren't getting pounded around and they're not getting into football shape, you know, maybe as quickly as they should. And that could lead to a whole rash of injuries, but you got to remember years ago back, and I hate to say this, but back in the 60s, when guys went to training camp, they went to training camp to get in shape because none of them were in any kind of shape at all to play football.
You know, Jeff, to me, and it's funny, you know, this is a completely unfounded theory. I have no scientific information to back it up, so let me preface it by saying that. I almost think part of the issue is that guys work out too much. And I think they'd be better off, like you said, getting into shape at training camp. You know, you work a little harder there. You go back to the 2 days, a little bit more contact. But you give the guys a full 4 to 5 months to let their bodies reboot and rest. I mean, back in the day, like you're talking about, you know, these guys had, you know, other jobs in the off season. You know, they weren't working out
exactly.
four or five months a year. And
yeah,
I think part of it, you know, the quest is here in every sport. It's not just football. It's not just the Giants. It's everywhere in athletics. So I'm not trying to point the finger at anybody here.
Hey, Jeff.
You want everyone to be as powerful and as strong as possible. And I think these guys, their muscles almost get too big for their joints and their ligaments and their tendons to handle it. And that's when you get some of these injuries.
I played in the late 80s. 88 was my first year. So we're going back in the day now. And this is the way it used to be.
26 years ago.
You had
I was 7 years old.
Exactly.
How you doing?
And it was exactly what you're saying. Yeah. He's probably still in diapers by then, you know. But I will tell you that you had the draft. Okay, let's just say the season ended and you didn't make the playoffs. The season was done. You were done in December. Okay? So you had January, February, March, in April, 4 months off, and then you had the draft. You had one mini camp for 3 days, and then you're gone until July. And you came to training camp. Training camp was 6 weeks long, and guys got into shape, and they got into hitting and this and that, and you just moved into the season. But the off season was short. I mean, it was very long. You had guys time to recover, joints to recover, not always doing it. Now, the strength coaches today will sit here and argue with you, oh, yeah, but you know what? You've got to do this and you got to do that. But, you know, we don't have enough time in the show to get into all this stuff. But You know, who knows?
Right.
It's tough. And now
the
guys,
problem is that once the other guys start doing it,
everybody
you have to
does
do it to match
exactly.
it. So, and then it's a slippery slope. Everyone tries to do more. Then the next guy tries to do more.
But
then
see, and then the
you
NFL
will never back up
and
on
the
it.
NFLPA got into it and said, "Wait a sec, well, you guys are hitting way too much at practice."
But that's not the problem.
But now we're going to take that away from you. But in a matter of fact, I think it is a problem. I think the guys aren't hitting enough to get used to the Sundays and getting. That's why they're getting hurt. Their
right.
bodies aren't conditioned enough to get to the hitting.
Yeah, well, it's you know. Maybe that's, you know, I
of
think you
people.
Both have valid, very valid points. And maybe, you know, you guys just need to tone it down a little bit in the off season and give it body times to recuperate
it's
fully. In regards to the offensive line, I mean, in a year, the offensive line, I mean, we could go from the outhouse to the penthouse. I mean, to me, it's not some giant rebuild. I mean, we get a couple of guys coming back into form. And if you can sign a couple of really good players somehow, whether it be,
I think it's easier to find good linemen.
Whatever it may be, I think we'll be in pretty
well,
good
Jeff,
shape.
Well, Jeff, and I think you also hope I think you hope in his third year, Pugh continues to get better, and his second year, Weston Richburg gets a lot better, and that would go a long way to making the offensive line better, too.
Exactly right. Well, you guys have a good day.
Thank
and,
you, Jeff.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
you.
Jeff.
My
have
friend.
A good weekend.
So do you partially agree with my theory, even though it's unfounded in any science or medical training way? I made sure I prefaced it with that, by the way. I'm no expert on this stuff.
You know what? It's tough. I don't know.
Because you know what? I didn't why. Look, I grew up watching sports, and I was watching these baseball players that are, you know, smoking cigarettes in their post-game interviews. They're eating hot dogs on the bench. They got guts.
Drinking beer.
And I almost think you put so much work into having these perfect Adonis bodies, and more things seem to go wrong. I mean, remember Daryl Boston? Daryl Boston was one of the best wide receivers in football. The guy got jacked up to no end, and he ended up getting hurt. Ruben Sierra in the mid-90s, he was a great baseball player. He got too jacked up. He couldn't hit anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something that I've observed. Again, I have no reason to think it's true. Don't go spreading this around. It's just something that I've seen that I think might be something that you could look at.
It is, I think, and there's been studies done on it. I just, from our discussion, it right. just makes more sense to me that when you give your time, your body time to heal, it will respond better, in my opinion. So I'm with you.
All right, I want to go Len to Columbia, Maryland next. He's on line two, Joe. Len, what's going on?
What's up, Len?
It seems like you got to get your phone working better, Len. The last two or three times I talked to you, your phone keeps cutting out on you.
Oh, and I thought you were cutting me off.
No, that's not me, Len. It's not me.
You see what part perception? You see what perception does?
Yeah. Take all that back, what you said about John and the guys that were trying that you thought were cutting you off. What do you got for us today?
Hey, listen, you know the answer to all this? Band strength and conditioning coaches. They're ruining it. They're ruining sports at every level.
Look, Len, I think there's a place for it, and I think there's a lot they do that helps.
Yeah.
So, and look, they're only doing what they're told to do, too. It's not like, you know, Jerry Palmieri marches into Jerry Reese's office and Tom Kovatov says, no, we're doing it this way. So, you know what I mean?
And they all get together and talk, and they say, this worked for us, and, oh, really? Well, it's going to work for us.
And trust me, the doctors and the training staff, and, you know, these are the – that's the thing. The way it's done in athletics now, Len, it's devised by the smartest people in their fields on the planet.
Course.
So it's not – these people know a crap load more than I do. But, you know, it's injuries just seem to pile up, you know?
Hey, one more quick point. You know, you were talking about guys having jobs in the offseason in the old days. I won't give you the year, and I won't mention the name of the coach, but it was quite a while ago. But I ran into an assistant coach who was working along with a neighbor of mine when I was growing up, selling whiskey in the off season. being an assistant coach, a pro football assistant coach, was about a 5 or 6 month deal.
Yep.
And then the guy had to put food on the table, and he went out and got another job. And I remember getting his autograph and talking to him about the Giants and so forth, but this was a guy who actually had a second job.
Hey, back in the day, Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and like Joe DiMaggio, they have jobs during the winter. They're working.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you,
absolutely.
I had a job my
absolutely.
First 3 years
listen,
in the off season.
What was your job, Jeff?
My dad was in the food business. I was selling French fries, man. My dad was in the food as I did for three
fantastic.
Years.
I love it.
Absolutely.
There you go. There you
Absolutely.
Go. Hey, listen, real quick. Let's beat the Titans and then let's beat the Redskins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, John, I want to pick on something here. Let's not pretend that you even. Actually, I'm not picking on you because you alluded to this. Where we are today, where we are today, John, with this football team. This didn't happen 3 weeks ago. I mean, this has been a 4-year process. I'm not going to use the word blame, but there's a body of information out there regarding performance by the people who were on this roster, coaching, acquisition of players, hiring of players, ongoing injury problems. It's going to be easy for the ultimate decision maker to make these decisions. Now, let me say one thing about DeMontre Moore. Perry Fuel has been in this business for a long time.
Yes, he has.
A long, long time. And look, if Perry Fuel says DeMontre Moore needs to get bigger and stronger and smarter, you know what? DeMontre Moore needs to get bigger and stronger and smarter. What Perry's really saying is good people, good big people beat good little people in this game. And you want to survive? Survive DeMontre? I don't know if I'm going to be around next year. Perry Fuel can say this. I don't know if I'm going to be around next year. But I know one thing, DeMontre. Get bigger and get stronger, or you're not going to make it.
And you know what? You know what, Len, in fairness?
Perry's not fooling.
And in fairness, DeMontre knew that. And he said to me in the offseason that was one of his big goals. And you know what? He does look a lot better physically in terms of his body than he did as a rookie. He does look a lot better. He's not there yet, but he has made improvements in that area.
But one thing that happens when guys do get bigger and stronger, they've never played at that bigger and stronger level yet either. So they have to develop.
That's a good point, Jeff.
So it is a little bit of – just because you get there isn't this magic pill all of a sudden now you're going to be there. So you got to be able to perform at that level too, whether it's the weight that you gained and the strength.
Let me say something about, Jeff, what you just said, because I agree. And that's a very important point. And that's where this whole movement towards sports science is going. It's not a training program for 90 guys when they get to training camp. It's at this point, Jeff, it's 90 individual training.
No, you're right. You're right.
All these bodies are not the same.
No, and I will tell you this. I'll tell you this. Because I've been on the inside now. You know that. And even, believe it or not, I did work out and we did all that stuff. And But it is specific. Okay, I will tell you this.
Believe it or not.
Each guy's is very, yeah. very. Now, in generality, there is certain things that everybody does. But then all of a sudden, if you're a defensive lineman or you're a punter or you're a kicker, it is all very specific in your movements and what you're doing. So it is a little bit customized to a point. So,
yes.
You know, well, it's not everybody's doing the same thing, but.
And I think that's where the training, that's where this whole sports science thing is moving. You know, understanding the individual player's body, how we can keep him healthy, and if he gets nicked up, how we can get him back on the field quicker. I mean, a player doesn't do us any good unless he can get back on the field.
Yeah, Len, you know what, though? You have to let a body heal. You can do all you want with sports science.
If a muscle's
strained or a ligament's torn or sprained, it's time. That's all you got is time.
But maybe you do look at it, the cause and effect. Maybe we go back and say this happened because.
Oh, right, you can do that.
And
sure.
Then say, okay, you know, but like John said, if you got a pulled muscle, it's pretty much everybody knows what to do with that, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But
listen, I want to say one more thing before I say, go Giants, let's beat the Titans. the Giants have been very, very lucky with Tom. I don't know what the future is going to hold for Tom Coughlin, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. Right now, for the state that this team is in, we are lucky to have Tom Coughlin. This guy will work this team through the next 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
No coach would be able to do.
It's true.
These 80-some-odd guys that we've got on the contract, it's even hard to say that number, but that's probably about, if you count the practice squad, that's probably about how many people we've got on some kind of contract.
They're on 70.
These 80 guys, in my opinion, and again, I don't know what's going to happen next year.
I'm counting
body
IR
of information guys. Is there. I don't know what's going to happen. But these 80 guys ought to cherish every second they hunt with Tom Coughlin.
I agree. I will tell you something.
To learn about how to prepare.
Absolutely.
For a job.
Thank you, Len.
Whether it's selling whiskey, playing right guard.
And Len, I'm going to let you go on this too. I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you happy. I was just out at the walkthrough before we came in here, and
you bought some whiskey.
And I was drinking some whiskey with Tom. and my son's with me.
Talk is cheap. My son, cheap, Jeff. It takes money to buy whiskey.
But I asked him when I was out there. I brought my son to work with me today, and I said to Tom, I said, you know, how are the guys? What's going on with the guys? And he said to me, he says, all I got to do, I got to get them to believe that they can win this game. The one guy that's going to do that is Tom Coughlin, and you know that. And that's kind of what he's
absolutely
doing. So
thanks,
kind of alludes to what you said. Have a great weekend, and give us what you were going to tell us.
Yeah, you too. Hey, let's go, Giants. Let's go, Giants.
Beat the Titans.
Beat the Titans.
All right, final call of the show. Let's go to Abdul in Chicago. Abdul, how are you, bud? Thanks for holding.
Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem,
love
Abdul. What's up? Thank you.
Nice. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, this is my first time calling, but I listen to the show every week. As sitting here as a frustrated Giants fan, seeing Eli Manning getting banged up and, you know, constantly taking sacks is really frustrating. But I hear some Giants fans constantly saying that McAdoo's system doesn't fit Eli's strength. And, you know, you have to give McAdoo some time because with an offensive line like what we have, like J.D. Walton, I just don't see it in this guy. But we have some promise though on the offensive line. Like we have Richburg, I think he will become a better player once he gets bigger and stronger. And Pugh, I think he needs more experience. But this offensive line, it cannot run block for anything. You know, we don't open up holes. We don't get Eli enough time to pass. And I don't know if you guys are entertaining the fact as drafting a QB as an understudy under Eli. I don't know if that would be a good idea, but
too early.
What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I think you're ready of Ryan Nassib here as an understudy. I think he did show some flashes in the offseason. So I don't think this year you go out and you draft another guy that would be your backup. And I think you're right. I think McAdoo has this year not been able to bring out his full package because of all the injuries and all the other things that are going on offense. And I think, look, I said the same thing about Gilbride last year. If you have trouble protecting the quarterback and you can't run the football, I don't care what offense you're on,
what team
you're going to have problems. You know what I mean?
No matter what, yeah.
Oh, it says that we lost Abdul there, Joe.
But too, John, when you talk about what McAdoo is trying to do is that he's limited in a sense because of kind of where he's at with his personnel.
Right.
You know?
I mean, there's been so many
And he's teaching Eli. We hear about him footwork. Well, that doesn't happen overnight in a new system, and it'll come just depending on, you know, how the offensive line can play. Because if they can run the football, it just sets up the offense for so many more things.
And, Abdul, it sounds like we lost you there. We have 4 minutes. We're going to call back and finish your last point. Feel free. We'll throw you on real quick. Thanks for calling in. I know you're a loyal listener. I want to try to give you your chance to say your piece. Real quickly, Jeff, we got about 4 minutes to go here.
Sure.
We didn't talk much about the game this weekend against the Titans.
That's okay. I mean, we don't know much about them anyways. But,
we have 4 minutes to educate some people on the Titans a little bit. I'm not going to go to the sounds here. We don't have enough time for that. But Mettenberger is a rookie quarterback, suffered a shoulder injury last year when he got Malachi crunched by J.J. Watt. ouch. But it looks like he's going to play. He's not a mobile guy. He's a stationary pocket passer, but he's got an arm and he can throw it down the field.
He can throw it down. You know, you saw what he did with Odell Beckham at LSU the years he was there, and you know, they got Locker behind him, but you know, they're going to play this guy, and he's got a good arm, and their offense is not that great. I mean, they can't run the football, so it's a good opportunity for the Giants defense to get after them.
And the Titans struggle defending the run.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if Rashad Jennings can't go, maybe Andre Williams and this offensive line can get something going. The Titans are the worst rush defense in football.
But they are pretty good at rushing the passer.
They are.
We're just throwing
sacks.
Stuff at you for the next 4 minutes because we want to do it. But yeah, so, you know, when we talk about matchups like we always do, you look at kind of what the defense is going to do in the offense, and there are some nice matchups in this game. And I think, once again, there's no reason why this Giants team can't go on the road and get a win against the Titans this week.
And then offensively for the Titans, they have a couple guys that can make plays down the field. Kendall Wright's a good receiver. Delanie Walker is a big play guy at tight end. He can make plays down the field. So the Giants secondary is going to have their hands filled. They got some guys that know how to play out there.
And you think of Walker, you know, when he was with San Francisco, right? Well, wasn't he primarily the guy behind
Vernon Davis?
Davis, who we didn't hear much about.
They actually
him,
played a lot of two tight end sets when they were there.
But he was the guy that more – he didn't get a lot of the catches, but he is now. And, you know, so it'll be exciting. I will tell you this, great place to go to play football.
Nashville?
Yeah, it's a great place. I'm a little jealous that you guys are going down
there. I have been to
this
Nashville once, and I am – I'm not going to have as much fun as I'm married now.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
I will have a very good time.
It is a great place to play football. It's a great stadium. The weather will be good. And if you like country music like I do, man, it would be a great trip.
You're a big country music guy?
I am a big country music guy.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that. Who's your favorite country music artist?
Back in the day, it was Clint Black and Garth Brooks.
Black.
I mean, we go way back.
Please tell me you have a cowboy hat somewhere in your home.
Yeah, but I have some boots. I got some boots.
I
was at a great show. I know we got to go, but I was at a great show on Wednesday night. It was the
Look
Songwriters of America, and these are the guys. I mean, these are the guys that write the songs. They don't get a lot of notoriety, but I mean, talking all the country songs, these are the guys. And then what they do is they tell you how they came up with the songs. It's pretty cool, and then they sing it. And so it's Joe's Pub down in New York, small little place. But these are the heavy hitters of country music. It was a lot of fun.
Well, if you can't get enough of Jeff Eagles, you can tune in at 11:30 on WFAN.
That's
on
right.
Sunday
we'll
morning. It'll be the Coors Light Giants game day pregame show. I'll be with you. Lance will be with you. Paulie Dotts will be with you. Carl Banks, Howard Cross, Bob Papa.
Everyone.
You'll hear from Tom Coughlin. Hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to Odell Beckham Jr. today. You can hear that interview. So make sure you tune in. And then, of course, you'll hear Jeff on the postgame show as well. And basically, and we should also say a farewell to our man Joey Kanye. It's his last day here. Screening
moving on
calls
to,
for us.
Joey, are you moving on to bigger
going
and better things?
To
or are you just moving
sunny
on?
Tampa Bay to work for the Buccaneers as one of their writers and one of their guys on the web.
That's
He's
awesome.
Done an excellent job. We will miss him, Joe. Well done. And good luck in Tampa Bay. We'll see you soon. All right, pal?
You're the man, Joe. You are.
For Joe, for Jeff, for Schmelk, we'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Well, I guess Monday. But
Monday.
Enjoy the game on Sunday, everybody. Have a good one.
Here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One hit, no punch. Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.